Today with Kino Cummies.
We all have a voice. Use yours. Call 021-446-0567.
Join the conversation.
On Cape Talk.
So what we now do on a Friday is we integrate Barbara Friedman with all the trending stories into our open line. So maybe you want to talk about one of those. But what I'm going to do first, before we chat to Barbara, is just I'd love to canvas your thoughts on Dr. Iqbal Sirve. Now, Dr. Iqbal Sirve is chairman of Second Jalo, their own independent media. And I'd like to know who in the world Iqbal Sirve thinks he is. There's my question. My question directly to the doctor. You know, he makes allegations of DA judges that are friends with Pravin Gordhan and baseless. And we've had Pravin Gordhan coming out and a press release through his lawyer saying that these allegations are baseless. What am I talking about? Well, I mean, it's really one of the saddest things, actually. I've got so much respect for journalists working on the ground at independent newspapers, but the omnipresence of their chairman, the chairman of Second Jalo as well, you know, spread throughout his newspapers has really reduced my respect for the brand value of these papers. You know, he claims editorial independence, but if one just looks at the papers and you see his face all over it, you have to ask yourself, is it a coincidence that he does not seem to be doing too badly on the PR front when it comes to his very own newspapers? And then we all know about the Financial Sector Conduct Authority. They raided Second Jalo's offices. You look at the Cape Times the next day. On the front page, a Dr. Iqbal Sirve puff piece, giving predominantly his side of the story. And from where I'm sitting, this seems to be a flagrant prostitution of journalism. A flagrant prostitution of journalism. My thoughts, those are mine. What are your thoughts? And if one thinks about the Cape Times, if you think about the good men and women who are just trying to eke out a living in these newspapers, I feel very sorry for them. What is your perception of the brand value of, let's say, a Cape Times and a Cape Argus these days? We'll also just quickly go to James in Newlands, who's got a comment to make. Hi there, James. Good morning.
Hi, Kino. Morning. How are you doing?
I'm very good, thank you.
Good, yeah. Well, I'm just listening to you while I'm on the line now. I completely agree. I think the Cape Times has become an absolute joke. I don't take it seriously, and I'll never read it based on just seeing that guy's face all over the show. I mean, I don't think he must take it for absolute fool. But my point is not relating to him.
Mm.
I wanted to question and get your take on the announcement today by the Justice Minister or the Department of Justice. It seems like they're a little bit behind the curve here. I mean, yesterday we had the big announcement from the States. Obviously, that's fantastic. But that was the first I knew about any involvement in the U.S., I mean, other than incidental stuff that you hear, that people are kind of, you know, pursuing them overseas. You know, the Department of Justice comes out with this big statement today saying, oh, no, you know, we're doing all of these cross-border stuff. I just wonder who's driving the car here or driving the ship.
So well, the narrative around it. I mean, listen, a couple of months, actually more than a couple of months ago, we were already all aware that the FBI was looking into the Guptas and all their friends, right?
Sure.
But I agree with you. I think it's a PR fail, if you ask me.
why are we waiting for the Americans to get nailed these guys?
Yeah,
there's so many people that must be persons of serious interest that we can identify. Yeah.
Remember, America did what they did based on our investigations, based on our work. I just think we needed to be very clear on the fact that we are playing an important role in leading all of this. They're partnering us on it. Yeah.
Sorry, I said that. I think it's so important that, you know, there's a strong message from us that our Department of Justice says that this is not acceptable, and we are driving the show, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
So that's the kind of message we need to be sending out to the public servants, I guess.
No, for sure. I agree with you. I just think these things could be communicated more effectively, and I also think confidence in our judiciary and our criminal justice system and the Justice Department would be so much higher if we knew what they were actually
100%
doing.
100%. I agree.
All right. Great one, James. Okay, thank you for the call, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you, thank you, thank you. quick one from John in Somerset West. Don't worry, Barbara. We're going to talk about those trending stories, but a lot of people want to talk this morning. Hi there, John.
Hello. Good morning. Look, I want to just talk about what's happening in Epping. Young people going to work there from places like Kalkstein-Fontein
yep.
are being waylaid by robbers, the American gang, basically, and they're being robbed. They're being beaten up and robbed. Somebody, part of my family was robbed, beaten up and robbed yesterday morning. But what has happened basically is that people living in that Kalkstein-Fontein area and so on and so forth have lost their jobs because they can't get to work. They're just too frightened to go to work because this gang is just all over the place.
And they are in where again? Epping.
Epping, yeah. Yeah, they're operating in Epping. They come from Bontevil, but they're operating in Epping.
Yeah, which isn't too far away from Bontevil.
No, so, it isn't, absolutely.
So, John, it's something we need to raise with Brigadier Novella Patelwa, the spokesperson. She's quite a go-getter, and she normally gets things done. So I'm going to raise that directly with her today, okay?
Please, if you would, I'll be ever
no problem. I'm happy to do that. I mean, I can't promise that we're going to sort it out. You know me.
No, okay.
I never make promises.
No, no.
We always see who we can access first, okay?
Okay, okay then.
Thanks for sharing it, John in Somerset West. Thomas in Constantia, hello.
Hello. I just wanted to say that whenever he's cornered or so, then Iqbal Serwi makes things up. He actually lies. And don't forget that he once claimed to be Nelson Mandela's personal physician. That was checked and double-checked, and it turned out to be a lie. He was never Nelson Mandela's personal physician. He never apologized for that. He never explained. And he did the same with his personal feud with Pravin Gordhan now. This man has a lot of secrets that he's hiding, especially in his business, and it better all come out because I think much of the money he got to keep his papers alive, he never deserved to get in the first place.
Well, thank you very much for that. That is Thomas's comments in Constantia. And this was that interaction. I just want to remind you what happened when the Financial Sector Conduct Authority raided his offices. This is what transpired.
It's not going to work, guys. There's media freedom issues here. There's legal privilege issues over here. And that's all it is. It's Pravin Gordhan behind this, and certain people. It's an abuse of regulatory authorities. It's an abuse. I'm aware that you went to the first judge. The judge said no to you. It's a political case. You went to a second judge who's a friend of the DA and of Pravin Gordhan. Okay? So it's fine.
If I may explain.
Yes. Tell us what you're looking for specifically. We can give it to you. You're not going to take my laptop of my PA because there's privileged information on that laptop.
No, keep playing it.
Edition on your part to get information that we have on Pravin Gordhan, on the president, and on various ministers and various others. Okay? And you're trying to get that information because my reporters are about to publish it this weekend. And that's all that this is about. This is a fishing expedition trying to prevent that information from being published.
Okay.
Now, whatever you're saying over here.
Here's my question. This is the offices of Sikonjalo, right? So now my question is, why, if they were looking for his laptop, why would that information about Pravin and anybody potentially be on his laptop? That's what I'm reading into this. He talks about a judge who's a friend of, I really don't know where he gets off. And I can say to you, if you are a journalist at Independent, I actually feel for you. I really, really feel for you. I'm just putting it out there. And the brand equity of wonderful papers such as the Cape Times, such as the Cape Argus, taking a knock.
Cape Talk.
The Open Line. Call 021-446-0567.
And a very good morning to you. Welcome to Today. Keno with you until midday. So let's go to Inga in Rondebosch for a quick call, and Malvin as well. Hi, Inga.
Hi. Lovely to hear your voice. The other day, I was driving towards Epping, and I had to stop at Stop Street at lights.
Yes.
And I heard this toot, 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 and I look around and I thought, what on earth's going on? And then I looked to my left, and there was a taxi driver who was hooting me and telling me to lock my car.
Ah.
And when I'd locked it and I thanked him, I got two thumbs up and we drove on. And it's really made me feel as if I'm cared for.
I love that. Lovely call, Inga. And, you know, we always think that taxi drivers are monsters. It's not the case. Eh? My experience with taxi drivers is that when you're standing wanting to turn, remember, you're standing in your lane, you want to turn right, there's oncoming traffic. And I find this in Sunningdale. You want to turn in. All you want to do is turn in or get into a road. Normal South Africans won't. I mean, I'm sure there's a whole lot of selfish people living in Sunningdale. They won't let you in. They won't. Maybe you're like 15 cars down the line, they'll allow you to pull into your driveway, for example. But when I find on the roads in general, the taxi drivers let you in. I think it's because they also feel the pain on the road. Nobody wants to let them in. Let's go to Melvin in Heart Bay. Melvin, you want to talk to me about a pizza joint, do you?
Yes, of course. Good morning. I couldn't resist it. you know, there's a little establishment in Heart Bay. It's called Casareccio. You know, it's managed by the owner. It's run by him. He's there from 6:30 in the morning until 10:30 when they shut down. I've been invited to the so-called best pizzeria in the world, and it was called Grimaldi's in Brooklyn, New York.
Yeah.
I went there. There was a queue of people wanting to get in. I had my friend Hugh and I went shopping. Came back, had their pizza. Look, it was good, but not the best. And I invited him to Heart Bay to come back with me to Casareccio. He had his first slice. And after the first bite, he says, this is the best. I just want to tell you that, you know, the best is local.
I like that too. I mean, I think we make better pizzas than the Italians, quite frankly. Exactly. But although, having said that, my favorite place is a company. Well, it's a place called Forneria Italia, which is just opposite Bayside Mall. Thin crust. Really nice and crispy. Italian ingredients imported. Yeah. Oh, it's exactly. Beautiful. So
listen. Here's my deal to you. I will invite you to Casareccio.
Yep.
I will foot the bill, and you tell me if it's the best.
I'll take you up on that one, man. I'm Gimba, like they say. I'll definitely come through.
Come on. At my
I'll do it. I'll happily do it. Casareccio.
Do it.
Hold on. We're doing a taste test on Monday, so I'm going to ask them to bring a pizza in. What is your favorite pizza?
My one is the Mediterranean.
Okay, the Mediterranean. So we'll bring the Mediterranean in. We're going to have to. So either Kia or Bruce is going to talk to you. They're going to get the exact name of it. I'm looking for your favorite little pizza place and your favorite pizza. Monday, we're going to do a taste test, right? Because we can do those things on this show. So the big question then is, what makes a perfect pizza?
Everybody loves pizza, right? But how do you make it perfect? We set out to find the science behind making the perfect pizza.
Who doesn't love pizza? But not all pizza's the same.
Some are too doughy. Some are too soggy. Is it all in how you make it?
I make the pizza.
She's right, but the oven does the work.
And we're not just talking about your traditional oven. We're talking about the science behind pizza made in a wood fire oven. On wheels.
Yes, it's a Forno Bravo from Italy. It's an authentic Italian oven.
And the wood is right there in the oven.
Yes, it is. That's how we get the fire started, and we keep it hot by feeding it logs right in there. We use pizza stone as a surface because it's very porous. It draws out moisture, giving your pizza a great crust. It also heats much more evenly than, let's say, a metal baking pan or another material would. The shape of the pizza oven is a dome because it perfectly reflects the heat over the whole oven, and that shape makes it so the pizza can cook from above, from the side, and from the bottom. It's important that the oven floor stays consistent, that the temperature is the same, so the pizza is cooked thoroughly throughout. So with something this hot, just constantly rotating it is what you have to do, making sure that the bottom isn't getting too black and that the crust up top is perfectly brown.
Now, normally I immerse myself in my work.
You're doing a fine job, D. Fine job.
I'm already hungry. I'm already hungry. Oh, my word. Thank you very much, Bro Joe. So your favorite pizza place? You can WhatsApp me on 0725671567. I don't want any of the big brands. I don't want people who are making tons of money already. I'm looking for small little places doing awesome little pizzas, and I don't know why people in New York think they make big pizzas. Have you seen their pizzas? It like puffs up on the side. They put that red stuff, and then they put, what's that red stuff they put on there? Those little, they look like salamis. I forget what it's called. Pepperoni. Oh, I've tried one New York pizza. One slice, that is. I handed the rest to a homeless man, and I did apologize to him afterwards. But let's go to Dawood in Tafelsig. Hi there.
Hi, good morning, Kino. I was told to keep it short.
Yes, please.
You know, if possible, if you could please address the Sikwalo squatter camp that is inconveniencing all the people of Mitchell Plain. My wife came home 3 hours late. My kids couldn't get to school because of a few illegal protesters who are damaging the infrastructure of Mitchell Plain. If they please can address it with the people that can change the things and not inconvenience the poorest of the poor, please, Kino.
So such a good point. People are selfish, and they know. I mean, they want to make an point to the authorities, but if you look at who exactly they are really, really undermining at the end of the day, it is poor people wanting to get to work. But anyway.
Cape Talk. WhatsApp Kino.
072-567-1567.
Morning. Morning, Kino. Ashley's Pizza in Goodwood, Voortrekker Road. Awesome. And also Massimo's in Hout Bay. I'm sure you've heard of them.
Well, there we go. Looking for those pizza places, eh? No big brands. And no, Jealous Down. I'm not trying to, jealous you as a big brand. But I'm looking for other people, smaller businesses, who make great pizzas. And not cookie cutter recipes like all the big brands do. And we will taste some of them on Monday as part of our Taste Test Mondays.
Hi, Kino. Ask Iqbal Survey when he's going to pay back the money that he got under false pretenses from the PIC. That's public money. Pay back the money. This guy is a shyster, John.
There we go. John not mincing his words about the Sick and Jollo chairman and the man behind independent media. I've got to tell you, I mean, I really honestly feel sorry. I could never work for a boss like Iqbal Survey. Never, ever. I'd probably die of a stroke or a heart attack within week one. Simply because I think the pressure and the stress and the conflict, having to work under those circumstances would just get to me. But anyway, it is time for us, of course, to chat to Chris Smith. But first, I'm told there's a Charles in Stellenbosch who wants to talk to us about another pizza. Are you there, Charles?
How's it, Kino? Just something, if you ever get to Stellenbosch, you have to go to Gino's. It's a legendary institution here in Stellenbosch, make fantastic pizza. They've got the same crew, been working at it for like 18 years.
So they
really know what they're doing. The other thing is the taxis. As a commuter, you're in your car by yourself. Remember that taxi's carrying 15 or 17 people. So just consider that there's 17 people getting to work and you're alone. And we're actually the problem. The taxis, in fact, are less of a problem. So we need to be patient with them. I agree with the previous caller.
There we are, Charles. Thank you very much. I'm sorry. As members of the media, we sit and we look at this and we talk amongst ourselves. And I thought, you know what? Actually, someone needs to speak out about this man. Anyway, Charles.
Yeah, and if you get to your Stellenbosch, I'll take you to Gino's with pleasure.
Gino's? Yeah. Okay. I mean, listen, if its name is Gino's, it's got to be good pizza. Charles, we might even ask Gino's to bring us a pizza on Monday. What's your favorite one, by the way?
That'll be the calzone, chicken mayo calzone.
Chicken mayo calzone. Kia's making quick, feverish notes there as we're going to be asking them to present us with a pizza. But
Tennessee just sounds perfect, whether that's live music, the crack of a campfire, or kids laughing on an adventure. To start planning your trip, visit tnvacation.com. That's tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.